This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining us here on episode 47 of the Polykill Podcast. As always, we're your host. I am Travis. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TravPlaysGames. Of the two of us, I like those old games, and made a boo-boo last week by saying that this episode would be our two-year anniversary, and guess what? It is not. It's going to be the next episode, and I mean it this time.
He does mean it. That'll be episode 48. This is episode 47, and I am Jake. I am at the McCaxel on Instagram and the Twitter, and I enjoy playing video games in my spare time.
You do, and what do you do on Instagram?
What do I do on Instagram? Not a lot. That's probably not really good to say when I'm trying to get people to follow me. I post pictures of records that I buy, concerts that I go to, some games that I get, and maybe some credit screens occasionally. I don't know, just random things.
Yeah, it's good. It's better than mine. Mine are just my junk.
Yeah, a lot of his junk, and we do mean like his refuse.
Yes, yes.
Not his poop. But I mean, like, just
junk. Say poop on a podcast. What have you done? You ruined it.
Can you not?
Oh, you can. It's fine. Okay. Jesus. All right. Sorry. So, if you're new to us, we make a lot of really bad jokes about poop and penises and boobies, and that's just, you're just going to have to get used to it. We're settling in. Real, here at 2 years in almost. Yeah. We're settling in. This is basically who we are.
Yeah, we're just like an old married couple that's over it, but just really don't have anywhere else to go.
Yeah, that's pretty true, actually. That's very true. You can follow us together. We are at Polykill. Mm. And last week, we released Off Kilter 8. That's our off-topic show that we actually give topics to, so it's kind of confusing. But we talked about sports.
Right. We did talk about the sports. We talked about the football. We talked about the other football.
Yeah,
we had a good time. We got a lot of people come out for the stories, a lot of contributions from the listener base that we have, so we appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely appreciate that. We've decided the Off Kilter 9 will be about shitty jobs,
because we've all had one, at least one.
Yeah,
I mean, even if you get paid for it, you still had a responsibility that was shitty.
So probably. Yeah, I believe that.
But I mean, I think most of us had a shitty job at some point.
Yeah, I mean, it adds character to somebody, you know. It builds the world experience that you need to be a good person.
It's true.
So do send those in. We're sure you have them, so please send those in. And we want to thank the Cartridge Club for making us the recipient of the hashtag CC mission this past week.
We do appreciate that.
The Cartridge Bros sicked everyone in the Cartridge Club onto our YouTube channel to subscribe to us. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were just subscribing their spouses when they weren't looking. They were just creating false accounts. And, you know, I got to thinking, I was like, why is our number so low? We do really well with our listener base.
I think we do.
But our YouTube number's just really low. And it occurred to me, Jake, I know exactly why, and it's because we don't make good videos.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
I've heard that from a lot of people, actually.
Yeah, it's usually just the podcasts, and we're not real pretty. So
no,
you know, that's really our fault.
I take the blame for it.
Yeah,
I totally would. Yeah,
we should start wearing masks.
That would be a good idea.
Yeah,
get some Michael Myers masks.
Get kind of hot.
Yeah, it's fine.
Whatever.
Yeah,
no hotter than it is already in here.
Hot is hot.
Yeah, hot is hot. All right. Well, that does it for the show. Housekeeping.
Sure.
Recent pickups and on the radar. I did pick up a couple games. I got a double pack, as they say.
Got the old double pack
on the Xbox One. Picked up Limbo and Inside together for $15.
That is a good
dollars. Yes,
good deal and a great pair of games by old Playdead.
Yes, yes. Yeah. 6 years apart, those two. Only two games they've ever made.
And both to critical acclaim. I don't know what they're smoking or drinking or bathing in or hooking up with, but they're making great games, so I don't want them to stop.
Yes, please do not stop
with your drug use. Atmosphere. And they're so good at minimalist storytelling without you having to be, you know, cumbered by, you know, stupid controls and lots of UI elements and, you know, superfluous dialogue. They just know how to tell a story.
They will just kill a boy over and over and over again until it becomes funny.
Yeah.
I'm also looking for a good deal now that I have, you know, partial custody of this PS4 with Hokey Briz, our friend Petey. The name of the PS4 is in his custody for now, but here in the next week or so, it should be coming my way, and I'm looking for a good deal on Nier Automata. Mm-hmm. So if any of you out there see a good deal, holla at you, boy. Let me know. The cheapest I've seen it so far is $44, which I probably should have jumped on, but if you've seen it out there cheaper, specifically physical, please let this brother know.
I've been looking for it as well. I've been trying to find a digital deal or a physical deal, and have yet to come up with anything. I've seen some PC deals, but you know that's not what we're after here.
So. Not what we're after, Jacob. Yeah. And also, I want to mention if you're listening to this episode here on a Monday, on Sunday I will have been featured. Will it be released on the fucking Dollar Dorks?
Dollar Dorks.
Dollar Dorks. There with Derek of Two Dorks and Canadian Retro. We are going to be talking about all kinds of crazy stuff, and I just want to say that I have some other pickups that I will be showing off on that show. That show is very much about your pickups and your deals and wheels and deals, and so I got some retro stuff that I'm going to show off there. So
now I've seen your pickup. It's green. It's parked up there by your other car.
Yes, that is a truck.
It's a pickup.
Yeah, it's kind of. Yeah, you're close.
All right.
You're close.
Okay.
But that's been me. What about you? Have you added anything?
I didn't buy anything.
No.
I'll take that back. I did buy something, but I didn't want to talk about it here. Talk about it later. But I did get Tacoma. I did get that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Is there anything coming out between now and August 28th that erects you, makes you erect in your pants?
It puts a little blood down there.
Wow.
It's Uncharted Lost Legacy.
Gross.
Yeah.
That game does look cool.
I'm intrigued by this game. I'm a little behind in the story of Uncharted and where things go, and I don't exactly know the timeline of Lost Legacy, where it falls in the Uncharted Nathan Drake-y storyline. So I'm unsure if I can play this next or if I need to play others first before I get there.
Where are you on that? Which ones have you played?
Spoilers. But I'll talk about that soon.
Oh, that's why you're tiptoeing around. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I'm looking forward to Nidhogg 2.
Nidhogg 2 looks good.
I love the hog. I actually didn't really play much of the first one. I enjoy watching that game be played by people much better than me.
It's hilarious.
So much fun. Even at MAGFest, they had a little, you know, you go in and sit. It was called like video game theater or something. You went in, you sat down, and you watched people play, and there was like announcers and everything, and it was a shit show, but it was so funny.
Yeah. You gotta love
it. Hilarious, and people were so good at it. And this one has a different aesthetic. It's a lot of the same in terms of game mechanics.
I hope they didn't change much at all, because I love the minimalist. You got three things you can do, and I love it.
Yeah, so it looks cool.
Yeah.
PS4 and PC there on August 16th.
All right.
So that does it for the games that we've picked up and the games that we're looking forward to. What happened last episode, Jacob?
Let us check it out.
Previously on Polykill, Jake runs down all the free games you can get this month and speculates on what the Atari box might actually be about. Trav didn't beat a single game while Jake hammered home Mortal Kombat X and knocked out a New Year's resolution by beating the classic game, Jetpack. The fellas share everyone's games from the Just Beat It hashtag before deliberating what all-time great RPGs to add to their backlogs for the topic of Disclash.
All right, let's bring it back in. That's what happened last week, Jake. We talked about all the RPGs. You finally knocked a game off your New Year's resolution.
I did.
Or knocked a bullet point off your New Year's by beating a classic game. So pretty good episode, I think. Now we're going to move on to Hot Jakes.
Hot Jakes.
News topics that Jake's going to just tell us all about here. Hit that Hot Jake music. Here we go. Square announces Dragon Quest Builders 2.
Look at these flops.
Valve unveils an announcement.
Another damn card game?
New Xbox One dashboard is coming.
Just let me customize.
I just want to customize that damn thing.
Me too.
Dragon Quest Builders 2, though.
It's pretty cool.
That is cool, right?
Yeah.
It feels soon in terms of Dragon Quest. You feel like you had to wait a while for those.
It's true. The good thing about, Dragon Quest Builders, if you're unfamiliar, it's basically what Portal Knights tried to do. And I think to a varying degree succeeded. It's Minecraft with a Dragon Quest skin on top of it, but it's more RPG based. So it's like action RPG with these crafting collectible, collect the ingredients, build things. But it's a lot more mission based, so it's got a little bit more drive to it than, say, playing Minecraft. I really like it. It's charming as hell. I love the music in the Dragon Quest series. I like the art style. I love everything about it. This did come out in 2016. It actually released on PS4 and Vita. So I don't honestly know if that was a 2016, off the top of my head, if it was a 2016 Western release and it came out before that over in Japan. But anyway, it does feel a little soon. This time it is coming to the PS4 and the Switch.
Yeah, a little Switch action.
So the Vita getting left in the dust, which kind of makes sense. You know, if you're going to put this on one portable, you should put it on the Switch and not the Vita, because that's install base of Switch is probably already bigger than Vita is.
Oh, yeah.
So that makes sense. It makes me sad for Vita, but still. If you haven't played these games or played the first one, check it out. You know, it's not a cheap game even at this point. It's still a little pricey, but worth it.
Seems very charming.
Quite charming.
Just white,
so charming.
Colorful.
Very colorful, and lots of fun characters to interact with, and it's a good time. So it doesn't really surprise me that there is a second one being made and released. I don't think we have official confirmation that it will be coming to the West, but I...
Got a good feeling, though, right?
I don't know why they wouldn't. I mean, they're bringing some mainline Dragon Quest entries, like I think 11's coming over here.
3DS is picking up a few, right?
And they got a lot of them,
yeah,
if not all of them at this point. So, yeah, I would see it coming over here.
Right on. Valve, over the week, they sort of teased something, got everybody excited about a new Valve game announcement, and then what happened?
Well, it was another damn card game, it was. And to beat all, a Dota 2 card game. Now, look, you know, when I dream of Half-Life 3 or Portal 3 or Left 4 Dead 3, I never envisioned any of them as a Dota 2 card game.
Yeah, I know. This is the worst version of any of those games ever.
But, you know, if that's how they want to release Half-Life 3 as a Dota 2 card game.
At least it came out in our lifetime, Jake.
Yeah.
You know, I never thought we'd see it. This Half-Life 3.
It's called Artifact. And, you know, I can see Half-Life Artifact. Makes sense to me. I'll play a Dota 2 Artifact card game about Half-Life 3.
But to be real, it is weird that they got their the VR out there, which it seems like they've been leaning toward for a while. Obviously, they've not been making any first person adventure games or action games that they were kind of known for 10 years ago at this point. So a card game coming out of left field, is this to kind of go up against Blizzard or something? What is
A lot of people are in this, right? You know, you got Magic the Gathering card games, you got Elder Scrolls in there now with Elder Scrolls Legends, you've got
Gwent,
your Gwent from The Witcher, you got your fucking Blizzard one, whatever that's called.
Hearthstone.
So, I just think it's a hot place to be right now. I think the big thing is it probably just makes a lot of money with very little effort, which is what Valve is all about.
I mean, if it's something that can like come to mobile, I mean, sure.
All
that stuff.
It'll probably hit mobile. It would make sense too. I think the interesting thing is that I don't think the fan reaction. I don't think the general reaction to this has been positive. So
but to be fair to the game, no one's played it yet. I mean, it could be the best card game ever made.
Could be, but I'll never know.
Could be the Ricky Bobby of card games.
It could be Cal Naughton Jr.
Ain't nothing wrong with silver. There's a new Xbox One dashboard coming. I think that's long overdue.
They've done little minor updates, you know, here and there, updating the thing, taking away the snap, moving the pins around, and like adding tabs for this and that,
hiding your games.
There are things about this new update that I dislike, to be honest. It's like the very first, because I watched the walkthrough video of it, and it's like one of the hardware guys and software guys and then Major Nelson, and they were like, all right, show us what this is all about. So they started up, and it's like, okay, here's the most recent thing you played, and here is an ad that's relevant to what you play most. It's like the second thing that you're going to see is some sort of suggestion. So I am wary of that. But we'll see. I mean, I just, what I don't like about the Xbox One dashboard is, you know, I know my way around it now, and now I'm going to have to relearn that, but hopefully it won't be too big of a switch.
I mean, they really do hide your games on the way it is now. It's, yeah, you know, there's so much on the screen. Yeah. You can either scroll all the way down to the bottom to see your games. You can either do the things that you've recently done.
Right.
But if you want to search for a game that you have to go to this little square that you can barely find up in the top right corner and hit it. And yeah, you know, that's
it makes
not
no
the most intuitive thing ever.
And also, it is laggy as fuck.
It's so slow.
It's really bad. Like, even like every generation, every iteration of Xbox One, every iteration of the software, you go to the store, you go to your tabs, whatever. It's just slow.
Take some time. Yeah, it sucks. But this one's supposed to be
hopefully
customizable.
Yeah.
So that's good.
We like that.
That'll come with limitations.
Because
let's face it, they're going to want to put their ads in there. There's going to be ads that you're not going to be able to get rid of that.
You won't.
So it'll probably still be laggy, but at least it's going to be, you can make it different if you want to, which is cool.
That's what we're hoping.
All right, that wraps up all the hot jigs.
Yeah,
it's not a big newsy period of time here.
No, it's
a little slow.
A little slow. I think as we ramp into the fall a little bit, it'll probably pick up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope so. We got some big games coming out in the fall.
Big games, girl.
Here we are going to be talking about the completed games or retired games, which occasionally happens. I sent out the poll today, and I've already lost. Nope, I've got it here. Mm-hmm. I sent out the poll again today. I said, how many games did we beat? How many games did you beat? You know how to do it.
I know how you do.
Mrs. Q-Dog, she says Jake 3, Trav 4, her 0.
Okay.
Cartridge Bros, P1 says Jake 2, Trav 0.
Oh, the trend has shifted.
And our dear friend Diego says Jake 1, Trav 1.
Wow, okay.
So we only got a few in this week, but let's see who was closest. Oh, I also said that if you guessed right, whoever guessed right, Jake would blow kisses at them.
Okay.
So.
All right.
So there's that.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Thanks for signing me up, though.
Well, actually, I didn't do it. Our intern did it. So, Trav, that's me. Games that I completed.
What did you complete?
I completed Castlevania Bloodlines on my Sega Genesis.
Nice.
I played all the way through as Eric Lacard, the guy with the spear.
Okay.
So much fun.
Easier with him.
I think it is.
So it's a cop-out.
Well, not really. I think it's a different Castlevania experience because, you know, all the games is the whip. And this one's a little bit different. He's more vertical. You do a lot of cool stuff. I'd actually like to try to go back through it and beat it with the whip because depending on, like, some maps fork and you can only get there with one guy or the other guy.
Ah, okay.
So there's some replayability. So I might run back through and see
what's
up. But it's hard. So it's not just something I can just go do at any point.
Understand.
And it's all stemming, you know, that Castlevania Netflix series has really got me bonered up for more Castlevania.
Yeah.
I tell you what.
So would you go and tackle another Castlevania soon?
I'd like to. I got Super Castlevania 4 I need to beat. I got Castlevania 3 on the NES, which is what the Netflix series was based on that I want to beat.
Right.
There's Simon's Quest on the NES, which is more of an RPG. It's very different. It's kind of the black sheep, as most twos were for the NES, it seems.
Yeah.
And there's a whole host of them from like the Game Boy Advance and the DS that are that same recipe, the side-scrolling whip action.
Love it.
And that I want to get into. So there's a whole host of them that I'm looking forward to buying and looking forward to playing. So yes, I am high on the Castlevania right now. This one, though, of the ones that I've played is very well-paced. A lot of them, it's kind of slow to kind of move through sometimes. But this one, I just feel like it was just, you know, the pacing was so good. There was never a dull moment.
Nice.
I really liked it.
So, gotta love it.
Yeah, it was cool. So that's one I beat. You want to do one?
Yeah, so I beat another one. Be another game. Yeah. We'll start off with this one. So in the trend of recency that I have been finding myself in, I beat another fighting game. This one wasn't terribly long or difficult, but Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Now, I don't know if you've seen the trailers or clips or anything from the new Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom, which I think will be numbered 4. But it looks really good. There's like a full-on cinematic story, like Injustice-style story that goes on, where different sides kind of have team up against a common enemy rather than just sort of being versus. So I'm pretty excited about that. So I saw this. I was like, you know what? I should play this. Had it for a while. Just one of those random pickups that I never mentioned.
When did it come out? How old is this one?
It's a couple years old.
But did it release on the Xbox One?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I don't believe this was a pre-gen title.
Okay.
I don't think. I honestly didn't look at it. It was just on sale one time. I was like, I'll take it. But it is an Xbox One native title, is what I'll say.
Okay.
So play through the arcade mode for that. And I don't know if you know anything about it, but it's a fighting game where you basically pick three fighters and then you can rotate them in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I've played some games like that. Yeah. I didn't know that this one was like that. So that's neat.
Yep. So, you know, assembled a team and went after it. Had a great time.
Nice.
Had a great time. The animations are really cool. The super moves are nice. It's very smooth and fluid, easy to learn.
And you said it did have a story arc with it?
It didn't have much of one, no.
Hmm.
No. The next one will.
Oh, that's what... Okay.
Yeah, the fourth one will. This one, not so much. This one's more along the lines of just play through these fights, get credits.
Okay. How long does that take you?
That was about 2.5 hours.
Cool.
So not terribly long, but pretty cool.
Nice, man. Yeah. So you're really getting those fighting games.
I am.
Cool. Are you going to try to take on humans now? Are you done beating the AI up?
Oh no, I'm not good enough for that. I mean, maybe depending on the game, not this one.
Okay. All right.
Not online, anyway.
I finally finished Walking Dead New Frontier. I think I was about halfway through last episode.
Oh, yeah.
I played this simultaneously with our good friend over at Flock of Nerds.
Miles.
And had a lot of fun doing that. So basically, and I might have talked about last episode, forgive me, but I'll repeat it here. We'd play an episode and then we would basically message each other for about an hour afterward being like, what happened to you? What did you do?
Nice.
I didn't do this. What'd you think of this character? And it made the experience so much different than it's ever been for me because I some of it might be, I played the first Walking Dead season, 5 years ago at this point? Four or five years ago?
It's been a minute.
And, you know, I might have just been more gullible then, and the whole idea of these games was very new, that I was just blown away by everything. I was like, you know, these decisions, everything matters, everything's high stakes, can't mess up, I want to, even in benign conversation, I want to make sure I pick the exact right thing to say.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's not that talking about it with Miles has spoiled it, but it's helped see a lot of that sausage made in the background where you're like, all right, even though it's kind of obvious that it's forcing you on this linear path, I sort of see that now. Like, I can see it happen.
Yeah. Okay.
And that was sort of, you know, like, that's kind of seeing the answer to the magic trick a little bit. But also, in general, the writing of this one I don't think was as impactful as the first season. It's
hard to say, honestly.
It is, but I think I can rationalize it in this way, in that the first season and the second season, I'm not going to spoil any storylines, but they were very intimate relationship-building stories about survival.
True.
And this one was very big world impacting. I mean, still the interpersonal relationships are there, but there was really not much of the survival element to it. It was just very much like keep everybody happy. And that was almost a different feel. Yeah.
And yeah, okay.
But that has its plus and minuses too. It was a different experience in whatever. But
you could levy the criticism at them if they just keep making the same style of Walking Dead game over and over again.
Sure.
Some people, you know, might be saying, like, hey, let's expand the scope a little bit, grow a little bit, do something different.
Yeah, I still think it was fairly well written for what it was.
Cool.
It's just it's really not what it was, I guess.
Sure.
In terms of scope.
It's that new album by your favorite artist that doesn't quite measure up to the first one you heard.
Yeah, it's almost like they sold out. They're just too big now.
I gotcha. Yeah,
I get the feeling that they're trying to cross over with the show a little bit. Each more and more each time, which I don't think a lot of people are happy about that.
Ooh.
So that's it. That's two for me. What else do you have?
I got another one, and I'm going to say this is a fighting game because it is. Tekken 6. Now, well, this is another fighting game that I had.
Is it a fighting game, though?
It is a fighting game. And it's Tekken 6.
Okay.
The interesting thing about this game is if you play the story mode in Tekken 6, and those of you that have played it, you're sitting there nodding your head like, yeah, I know. It is not a typical fighting game campaign. It actually turns into a 3D beat-em-up.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's like you pick the fighter that you want to use, and you fight through these levels like Streets of Rage style. Like, guns will drop, sticks will drop, flamethrowers, and you can use every single fighting move that is in the arsenal of the character that you picked. But you play through this very cinematic, very, a lot of cutscenes, a lot of dialogue, and a lot of you know, because the Tekken series, I don't know if you know this about, but like each game is building on the story from the previous one. So it's not, none of them are in isolation. Yeah, it was actually a lot more than I bargained for. I jumped into it. Didn't do any research. I was like, I'll just jump into Tekken. I can probably knock that out.
I'll just beat another fighting game. That's what I do every day. I'm always beating the fighting games.
It's fine. Jumped into it, and I was like, oh, this is taking a while. It gives you an overworld map.
Get out of here.
Yeah. I'm like, this is weird.
But does it have a traditional fighting game mode?
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's there.
Okay.
But this, like, the story campaign does not.
Does the campaign differ between the characters that you, I mean, do you pick?
Nope, same characters.
Okay.
This is how you actually unlock characters in the other mode, is by beating them in, like, the Streets of Rage combat in the campaign.
I see. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, went through that. I was like, man, this is taking a while. I looked it up. It's about an 8-hour game. So, that's lengthy.
Yeah.
Especially for a fighting game.
Absolutely.
I plowed through most of it. I had the difficulty on medium, so I was pretty happy with that. You know, just whatever was default. Get to the penultimate boss, and oh my god. What a difficulty spike. Like, insane difficulty spike. Like, controller tossing, inducing difficulty spike. It was crazy. Took me forever. I was like, how am I going to do this? So, along the way, as you are playing through these games, like, you kill some enemies, and they drop this chest, and then this chest is an item. This item is equipable by the character that you have, and it can boost stats or give you defenses or stuff like that.
Okay.
So I pieced together an outfit for my character to take on this boss and beat him.
Oh, so you just needed to grind a little bit.
I needed to grind, which was weird.
That's weird.
Yeah, I mean, who ever thought about grinding in a fighting game?
Grind, you know, when in Tekken where you grind? Like, no one's ever said that.
Like, cool. I had to grind before I took on that boss. So that became pretty cool. And then I probably played that boss 2.5 hours.
Whoa!
Yeah. Yeah, just because you had to fight two other bosses to get to this one.
Oh, so, but if you died, you had to go back through them all again?
Well, no, you would start there, but if you wanted to, like, change your equipment or pick a different fighter, you had to go back and then restart that whole stage. So, anyway, did that. Finally, beat her, and then made my way to the end of the game. Fought Azazel, the big dragon, and then fought the final boss. Got some credits. So, yeah.
Nice, dude.
Yeah, it was a lot more than I bargained for.
I'd say so, yeah.
It was a bit rewarding, honestly, because it was quite difficult at times.
Now, do you think the next Tekken's got that?
I don't know. I know the next Tekken's out, and people love it. And it was on sale recently, but still a little more than I want to pay for it.
Yeah. Like
$44.
It's got a big 10-hour campaign.
I need to look into it, because I do love the Tekken games. They're a good time.
Right on, man.
All right, so that's two each.
Two each. Okay, I also finished, as I said I would, I promised I would beat Beyond Good and Evil.
Beyond Good and Evil.
HD. Mm-hmm. It's the Xbox 360 backwards compatible version for Xbox One. That's the HD version.
Right.
So to recap, you know, if no one knows about this game or whatever, you're a journalist that's also happens to be really good at martial arts, and you're working to unveil a planet-wide alien conspiracy, okay? Ooh. That's the gist. Now,
your name is Jade, right?
Your name is Jade.
Jade.
And
so 90s.
You have a pig friend named Paige.
Oh, Pig the Page.
Paige the Pig. And essentially, you're just sneaking around, fighting goons, taking pictures. But somehow, it's just so cool. I don't understand. Also don't understand why the sequel was so clamored for. I don't understand how that cult following got so big and so powerful.
Okay.
And I have a couple theories, and they're very basic. One of them is just that when you're playing the game, it feels like they put you in this big world and you just scratched the surface of it. It seems like it seems like a very limitless world. Like there's really no constraints. I mean, there's talking pigs for crying out loud. You get to fly to the moon on a spaceship and fight things. There's all these elements in this world that are never really explained that I could see someone, you know, people really wanting more from the world itself. Maybe not even specifically the characters, just like, I want another game based where this is, because this seems fun and it feels open world. You can travel a lot with your hovercraft and your boat and you get like a plane at some point. Mm-hmm. So there's just a lot to do, and it doesn't really make you do any of it. You can just kind of go over there and discover something and do it or not.
Cool.
And so there's a lot of that there. So I think maybe that's one of the reasons that people were really drawn to it. Other than that, it doesn't blow me away. I mean, it's fun, but it's not so fun that I just shit in my pants. Right. I never once shit myself.
Well, I've never done that for anything.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't done it in weeks. But it, you know, it's very well paced. It never feels repetitive. Story's good. I mean, cool. I still give it like a 7 out of 10. Like I said, it didn't blow me away, but it's good. You know, it's, if you want to go back and play a game that was made in 2003, a lot of those don't hold up, but this one I think does well enough, especially with the HD version.
There you go.
So give it a try.
Nice.
If you can.
There's three down.
Three each. Three for me.
Three for you.
What do you got?
I got another one.
Okay. So, so three each.
Three each. All right. This is Uncharted 3.
On what now?
Or Unfarted 3, as it was so written. Now, I got to say, I didn't really plan on playing this. As you guys know, I didn't announce this as a side quest or a long play on the previous episode. But I was sitting at home, and I was thinking about Uncharted Lost Legacy. I was like, you know what? I really want to play that. It looks really cool. It's a $40 title. It'll be something short, beatable. I like the character of Chloe. I haven't met Nadine yet, but she seems all cool. I was like, you know what? I need to get on this. I need to find a way to make this happen. So I was like, well, let's just jump into Uncharted 3. I'd never touched it. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. It definitely was no Uncharted 2. But there were some really cool set pieces in it. I do have to say they pulled a lot from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. There was a
really?
Lot of moments in this game where I was like, damn, this is very on the nose tribute or stealing. I can't really tell.
Right.
To Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, but I had a good time with it. It was probably a 10-hour romp, as it were, and it was, you know, I'm playing the HD version on PS4, so it was pretty and it was cool. I think it was a little bit scaled back in terms of like the way Uncharted 2 was. Like, you played Uncharted 2, correct?
That's the only one I have played.
And you completed it, right?
I did. Yeah.
Okay, so if you remember something about that, there was a lot of like mysticism in that one and some weird things like that. This has much more scaled back version of that. It's not as, doesn't have that bravado of something being, you know, magic or spooky or something like that. It's there, but it's just kind of under the surface a little bit, which I enjoyed. I enjoyed this.
So you're saying it's less sci-fi?
More grounded.
Okay. Like more of an adventure, just an adventure.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I would say closer in tone to the Tomb Raider reboot from 2013.
Right,
because like, that one like had that had just of, a little bit yeah. there, but it didn't oversaturate it.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I did like that about the game.
Okay,
they did revitalize the combat a little bit. You can tell that was around the time when maybe Arkham Asylum came out, where people had seen that kind of combat. So it was kind of like, hey, let's get one of those in here. The one that I played was a little glitchy. I don't know if it was the port from Bluepoint or if it was in the original code from Naughty Dog, but there was some glitchiness to it at times, but nothing game breaking.
Cool, man. So are you going to play the fourth one, or you're going to find out what order they're in and then go
I'm
that
probably
one?
Just going to go for the fourth one next, because I think I can beat that.
Do you have that one?
I don't have it, but okay. It's like $18 right now.
Fair enough.
So I can probably snatch it up from somebody.
Neat. Okay, next for me, not a game that I beat. Yeah. What, are you about to say something?
No, I'm just saying you move on to the next one.
Oh, and if you had a cramp or something, you got wild over there, you started Whoa! Moving in the chair a whole lot.
Sorry.
Got excited. No, this isn't a game I beat, but it is a game I am knocking off my backlog. Myself and our friend Brian at HokeyBriz on Twitter, we have couch co-op bro-ops where we play horror games because we're too scared to do them by ourselves.
Smart.
And you know, we've got a long list of those in our history. We were playing Fatal Frame. I haven't talked about it in a few episodes, so I'll rehash it a little bit here. It's a PS2 game. You're in a mansion full of these demented ghosts, and you're looking for your lost brother. You undercover some clues about who the ghosts are and what's really going on in this mansion, but you're only armed with a camera, and the camera kills the ghost as they come at you. The closer the ghosts are, the more damage you do to them.
It's a bad idea.
It's a great idea. It's a great idea.
But I mean, it's a bad idea. Don't do this in real life.
Yeah, the shitty thing about that game is there's a lot of difficulty in maneuvering, because it does have that fixed Resident Evil third-person camera, and then to fight, you can't just... You know, move the character and shoot. You actually have to zoom into the camera. So now your view is through the camera, and that's also very unwieldy. So if you are using the camera and the ghost goes out of your view, and then you want to switch back and move, you have no idea where in space you are. So like high panic situations are just a crapshoot every gotcha. Single time. And then we hit a difficulty spike in the third and final act, almost as soon as it started. It's like day three, and we're like, all right, sweet, we're going to do this. And then suddenly the ghosts are faster, they take more hits, and now they're shooting shit at us.
Good.
And there's more of them.
God!
And it was too much.
Too much.
We would make progress, but we'd be worse off for it. Like, you know, we would finally we killed that ghost, but now we have like
two health and no ammo,
barely any health, and then it's like we killed the next ghost, but now we have no health. Like, there's no way we can beat this. So we still think in concept it was a good game. We'd like to play the sequels. Okay. I think
maybe better designed or
yeah. The first two acts of the game were great, but just got too hard, and that's a shame.
Damn it! It is a shame.
It's a shame.
It is a shame. So you retired that one.
We did. We just put that one on the shelf. And said,
I also
hey,
retired a game due to a difficulty spike.
Did you really?
I did.
Don't retire them too often around here, Jake.
We don't.
What happened to
we
you?
We don't. So I was on this quest to beat another game, mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, here's Trials HD. I don't know if you remember this. This game, this physics-based motorcycle game.
Where a lot of ramps.
A lot of ramps, jumps, and
hilarious.
Just weird shit. That you put yourself through. Now, this was the original one that was released on Xbox 360 on Xbox Live Arcade back when it was called that by Red Link Studios. And it was a blast. I played through the you know, entry levels, like the novice level, the easy ones, the mediums, the hard. Like, they got hard. I was like, I can still do this. Get to the, I don't remember what the difficulty was called, like insane maybe. Something like that. And I was like, this is, instead of a ramp, it would just be like, here's a board and here's a platform that's twice as tall as you are. Get up it. You know, I mean, it was just like, this is the skin difficult. And I was like, well, let me just power through. Got through three of these of the five, I think. But the last two, I could not get through. Like, I mean, basically you had to like, just, you know, wheelie on one tire and hop from like flaming pipe to flaming, like the end of a flaming pipe, like the vertical side. Like, it was dumb. And, restarted one jump over 500 times. So I was like, no, I'm done. I had my fun with this. I like the one with the loops and stuff. So I'll, I think the Trials Fusion is a freebie here for us soon.
And then also Trials of the Blood Dragon.
Right, but I mean, I'm going to get Trials Fusion for free. So sure. Yeah. I'll probably give that a shot and see how stupid it is. Toward the end, and maybe knock that one out. But I was close, you know. I meddled in every level except those two. So
you're going to fly. You're going to retire. You don't think, you know, in a week from now you can come back with a fresh frame of mind and some fresh thumbs? And
I don't think I want to spend that time again.
Okay,
like, I don't think I want to.
Well, all right then. Well, congrats to you for coming to terms with it, because that's more than I'm sometimes able to do. Final Fantasy VII.
Exactly.
Another game that I beat.
Oh!
Yeah.
What?
To get me to four.
Oh, shit.
To get me to four and to put me in the lead for good is Limbo.
Limbo.
I just picked it up, although
you haven't played it.
Well, I had it on my, I got it for my 360 or whatever. It's backwards compatible. I've had it kicking around a while. It's been on my backlog for a while, but it's so long that I actually forgot I had it.
There you go.
And it's hard to believe that game's 7 years old.
I know.
It doesn't feel like it should be 7 years old.
It feels
old.
Like it shook up the world a little bit when it released. Like, yeah, that and Super Meat Boy, I think, revitalized the indie scene.
I go for that. At least two of the major ones for sure.
Yeah.
If you're, you know, maybe 7 years ago you were living in a cave or whatever, it's basically a 2D side-scrolling physics-based trial
puzzle
and death
platformer.
Achromatic puzzle platformer with a boy dying over and over.
Yeah,
that's it. But
very
it's
descriptive.
It's very it's totally fun. It's not too difficult. There are sometimes I got hung up one big time and actually had to look online and then felt like an idiot. And I was like, oh.
Some of those puzzles aren't immediately obvious.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're dealing with two colors. So
essentially, the one I got, I didn't realize that the one of the little shadows was actually a handle I could pull. I just kept walking past. I'm like, there's no way to solve this.
Oh,
and it was like, no, that's a handle. I'm like, oh, really? That is? Okay.
Is it?
So then the rest of the game I knew to look for handles. So it was one of the first ones that I came to. But
nice.
So much fun. Quick, relatively challenging toward the end, but still fun. Totally doable.
Very cool.
Took about an hour and a half.
Those big damn spiders, man.
That was cool.
Yeah, they're really cool.
It was really cool.
I like that shit.
So that's four for me in a retired game.
Nice. Now, I bet you thought you were in the lead.
I was in the lead. I'm Ricky Bobby, baby.
Yeah.
I'm the Ricky Bobby this podcast.
Well, we're going to tie. This will be another one. Beat another one last night.
What'd you beat?
Glaucoma.
Glaucoma?
No, Tacoma.
Oh.
Tacoma.
If you beat glaucoma last night, man, that's pretty good.
I wouldn't be on this podcast right now, I'll tell you. No, this is a game that is from Fulbright, who released Gone Home, Steve Gaynor and the crew over there at Fulbright. I really liked Gone Home when I played it. I think I talked about that on an episode of this podcast. Tacoma is one of those that I think is going to be really divisive. Okay? So do you know anything about the game?
It's a truck.
Nope.
Okay, no.
Okay. So, it's along the lines of a Gone Home, you know, walking simulator, if you want to call it that. I don't mean that disparagingly because I do enjoy those first-person experiences or FPXs.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that too.
Okay.
I didn't make them up with it. Someone else did. Hmm. But anyway, so it's an FPX, and you are a contractor. You go to this space station to recover something. And you get there, and there's a system on board Tacoma, the station, that records everything that happens in an AR format. So okay. You have visual representations of the crew. And it's an interesting way to tell a story because you pick what you want to see and hear, and you can rewind and fast forward. And like these people are moving around and talking, like they'll be grouped up mm-hmm. and talking about something that's going to happen. And then they'll all split up, and then you can follow these people and see what they talk about, and then rewind and follow this other group of people and see
Neat.
What they talk about. And you learn that these people are hiding things from these people, and these people are angry about this, and this guy's thinking about doing something really stupid. And like you just follow them around the ship and kind of do this throughout the course of the game. It's really interesting way to tell a story because it's kind of like an audio log because it's basically what it is, but it's expanding on that, making it visual and kind of giving you the option to have audio logs that are like conflicting and like yeah. actually character development, not just, hi, I'm so-and-so. You should hit the switch over by so-and-so to open the door, you know, something yeah. stupid like that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a really interesting game. It's very much tonally like Gone Home. It's not going to, you know, not spoiling anything, but there's no mind-blowing thing that happens here. It's not a horror game. It's not some grandiose piece of literature. It's just a very human experience, and I thought it was really cool.
How long does it take to run through it?
3 hours.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And that's if you listen to everything.
What all is it on?
Xbox One and PC.
Interesting. Cool. Yeah. Right, well, thanks for sharing that. Sounds like a neato game.
It's a really cool design. Like I said, I think it's going to be pretty divisive because some people are going to expect more and some people are not going to like that format, but I thought it was cool. It basically lets you tell your own story because if you miss something or, don't listen to a certain side of things, you're, you know, literally not getting the full picture. So
fair enough.
Pretty cool.
Well, we tied it 4-piece.
And each retired one.
Yeah, each retired one. Couldn't have been more similar. Miss yeah. Q-Dog was the closest. She said it would be a 4-3 split here, and it was 4-4. So you're so close to having Jake blow you kisses. Mrs. Q-Dog just won't happen.
Just won't happen. Sorry.
Just won't happen this week. Plus, we don't want to make Mr. Q-Dog jealous. Now it's time for our hashtag Just Beat It. Now,
this
Jake,
has gotten out of fucking hand.
I don't. Yeah, it's... well, here... Okay, so... So here's the thing. Basically,
here we go. Basically,
we didn't. We thought like 4 of you would be like, yeah, I'll hashtag some shit. But we did expect like 50 of you. And that was the thing. But that's cool. That's cool. Really
we
cool.
It.
We love it so much. So
we love it.
But
so
here's
much.
The thing. We don't want to just read them dry. We don't want dry dog it. You want dry dog it?
I don't like dry dogging anything.
There's not one thing in this world, Jake, that I have ever enjoyed dry dogging. Not a single time. Not one time have I been like, glad I dry dogged it. That was great. Yeah. Like a nice arid dog.
Yeah.
No.
Moist.
No, we're going at this wet dog. We're going to assume some character voices, and we're going to run through this as best we can.
This is completely rehearsed. We know exactly what we're going to do.
We have never done this before. I don't even know what voice is going to come out of my mouth. Hi, everybody. I am Randy Prescott, and I'm here today to read your Just Beat It. That's hashtag Just Beat It. I'm a Southern gentleman. Our first Just Beat It, this is just a list of folks that have beaten a single game over the last 2 weeks. We have Brian at Hokey Briz. He beat The Last of Us, Jake.
Hey.
Yes, that's right, just The Last of Us. Jeffrey at Self Destructo, he beat The Swapper. Have you ever heard of that one?
I have.
What is it?
It is a cloning puzzle platformer set in space.
Neat. Frankie at Viper Strike beat Tacoma, game you just talked about.
Damn.
Caramel Ken at Sir Chef God beat Final Fantasy 15. And Jake, I don't even know if he listens to the show. I think that fella just used our hashtag.
Well.
Cliff at Cliff Hikes beat God of War 2 HD. Jeff at Project Jeff 85 beat Halo Wars 2. How about that?
Well.
Monkey Girl at Colette Lev beat Gauntlet Slayer Edition.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Sean at Cartridge Brothers beat that Journey. And if y'all don't know, that's the game of the month there over on the Cartridge Club.
Here in the month of August.
That's right. Now, we're about to enter the Polykill Club, fam.
We are.
These
indeed.
Are folks that beat multiple games.
Yeah.
How's my accent holding up?
Is it okay? It's, you know, it's coming and going.
Has it gone into anything completely different?
No, you've...
Am I still Zach Galifianakis from some movie?
No.
Okay, cool.
No.
All right.
All right, so we'll alternate this time, and I'll do my late night DJ. I don't know. I don't have a name for him, but late night DJ.
Late night DJ Jake. Ernest Cummings.
Nope.
No, I don't like that.
I just like that very much.
How about just call him J-Dog or something? Because he's a DJ. He's a late night DJ.
You go with the J-Dog. J-Dog. Okay, yeah.
Can I still be hype man as Randy?
You do whatever you want.
Okay. Well, I mean, okay. All right, fine. Okay. Here we go. Yeah. Right. Polycolor Club.
Here we go. You starting off?
No. We're taking turns.
Okay.
I thought you were doing it.
There's a lot more of these, but that's okay.
I know.
All right. First up is Miles at Flock of Nerds. He beat The Walking Dead New Frontier. I don't know what that is.
It's Caladrius Blaze.
Okay. Caladrius Blaze on PlayStation 4.
Oh, No.
I was just seeing if you had a reaction.
Oh, I got nothing for that. I don't even know what that is.
All right. Diego.
I don't even know what that is. Okay. Beats me.
Beats you. All right. So Diego at Latino Lawyer beat Kirby's Adventure on the NES and Little Inferno on the Nintendo Switch.
Well, those seem like cute little ones, don't they?
Rocket Sauce at It's Rocket Sauce beat Spider-Man, Shattered Dimensions, and Evil Within.
Get it, Rocket.
Musty at Musty Hobbit beat God of War 3 and Journey. Low at Nintendo beat Journey, Brothers Tale of Two Sons, and Popo and Yo.
What a cute triage there. Just treat this a big triple of good, cute games.
Adorable. Caleb at Caleb J. Ross beat Wolfenstein, The Old Blood, and Nova 111.
What is that Nova 111?
It's not dissimilar to a pixel junk shooter.
Moving on.
Kyle at Doplick beat Ukulele on PS4, Dragon Spirit on NES, and Mario Pinball Land on Game Boy Advanced.
I feel like Kyle's kind of like me. He just plays whatever on anything.
Gigi App at The Gigi App beat Ori and the Blind Forest and Fallout 4.
Two great ones. I love both of those.
Dean at Round 2 Gaming beat Alien Syndrome and Journey.
And that was his first ever Sega Master System game.
Well.
Way to go there, Dean.
Pam, you beat Little Red Lie, SteamWorld Dig, Pyre, Tacoma,
Goetia. Is it not Goetia?
Sure.
That's the name of my banker down there, downtown, Goetia.
She also beat Journey and Insecticide.
Pam beat all the games she could find.
She did.
It was something else.
Thank you for hanging with the J-Dog.
And Randy, or Ricky, what did I say my name was?
I don't remember.
I'm a southern gentleman.
Yeah, without a name.
No, I have a name. I just don't know it.
Yeah.
Well, that was it. I hope that wasn't as awful entertaining as it felt. I am in a sweat right now of embarrassment.
I'm burning up. It's fine.
Okay. Games that we've added to our backlog.
What'd you add to your backlog?
I added Resident Evil 7 Biohazard.
Yeah, you did.
Limbo, which I beat. I forgot to delete that here. And Inside.
Inside.
So I'll talk at length about Resident Evil 7 here after a while, but looking forward to playing Inside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I finished Inside. I did. I think it was a great game and a great follow-up to Limbo. I'm really excited to see what you think about it because it's one of the best games of the year.
Yeah, so, yeah, I've heard that.
I don't know if I brought this up last time, but I did go ahead and add Bayonetta to my backlog.
Good
I
stuff.
Actually spent about 3 hours with it immediately after beating Uncharted 3. So,
way to go, man.
Yep.
This episode
is
sponsored by Cowden Technologies, LLC. Okay. Cowtech focuses on product development in robotics, web apps, mobile apps, home automation, or some combination of the above. To learn more or to start a conversation about your future product or idea, go ahead and send an email to info@cowden.tech. That is info@cowden.tech. We're talking robotics, we're talking apps, we're talking making your house automated, all that cool stuff. This guy can set that up for you. Also, everyone at Caltech is better at video games than Travis.
Yep.
Folks, if you like what you're hearing so far, and God, we can only hope. We've at the start, I don't know, we said poop, which I still don't feel great about. We went through and talked about all our games. We did tie though. I thought that added some drama.
That was interesting.
We tried some awful character voices for the Just Beat It hashtags. Hopefully you find that worth it.
Just lay back and relax and then let the music take you.
That's right. That's very good, Jake. Several people have jizzed now that you have leveraged that sweet, seductive voice. But check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/PolyKillPodcast. We treat that much like our YouTube in that we don't really pay any attention to it at all. So
and
please,
no one ever goes there.
Add us there and no one checks it out. Yep. CartridgeClub.org is where you can find us. You can talk to us there. We are on the forums there. You'll want to find the game of the month each month and play that along with the club. There's no fee. There's no entry fee.
Right.
It's not like a speakeasy. You just show up and play games and be nice. And that's really all it is.
Well, it is.
You can find all of our stuff over at PolyKill.com. That includes our nudes, our podcasts, our blogs, and
our nudes.
And also his nudes. Yeah. PolyKillPodcast@gmail.com is where you can send those shitty job stories, any praise or hate you have. But if you have praise, please reserve that for iTunes. Go there and give us some stars, preferably five of them, and leave a little thing there that says, what about this is enjoyable for you? Because we can't imagine what that could be.
Nope.
Subscribe to our Sad Lonely YouTube channel. We're sure that most of you have already because there's only 10 subscribers. No, there's a few.
Yeah, thank you, CC Mission.
We do want to thank the CC Mission for helping us out there. We certainly do need it. So
indeed.
Thank you. Thank you again.
All right, moving on to the long play.
All right, you ready?
Let's do it.
Time for the long play. I went a little deeper today.
You did.
I
didn't know what you were doing.
Well, I was just trying to... You know, I did Randy for so long. Was it Randy? I did Randy for so long there a second ago that I just said...
I feel you.
I need to go lower.
You need to leave Rascal Flatts behind and move over to Randy Travis.
I have no idea who you're talking about. So, yeah, my long play... I don't have a game right now because, to be honest, I'm waiting on that PS4 to show up, and there's some big games coming with that I will declare as my long play. For now, I'm probably going to tackle Inside. That'll probably be a quick one, and I might try to wrap up some of these other games that I got just fledgling.
Yeah. My long play is still Horizon Zero Dawn. That's not gone anywhere. To be honest, I haven't put really any time into that since the last episode because it was off beating other games.
It's hardly a long play at that point, is it?
It hardly is, but I am dedicated to going back and beating this sooner rather than later.
So, yeah, but you don't want to rush through it. You like it.
And that's a big part of the problem. I just don't want to rush through it.
I hear you.
I don't want it to be over with.
I hear you barking, big dog.
It's like high school that I can just keep putting off and no one gets mad about it.
Okay.
And I don't look like I failed a grade.
Fair enough. Speaking of high school, you need to get back into Persona.
Shit, dicks, buddy.
Yeah, I'd like to hear more about that game.
I really want to. Yeah, that's next.
So that takes us to SideQuest. We have a lot of we get really hyped for the long play, and we we didn't beat any games or not playing any games. SideQuest for me, a little bit of a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game. If maybe you were born in 2004 or whatever, I don't know who listens to this show, Jacob, but there was a game that came out on arcades in the 80s that made 4-year-old me literally, and I've said this already in this podcast, so I'll go ahead and say it again, shit myself. I'm very easy to shit myself if I'm excited. I am like a nervous raccoon. I will just shit right there where I'm at.
Right in your drawers.
And I remember seeing, I would walk into an arcade, there were, you know, at the beach, there was some downtown, you know, like at the laundromat even, you know, you'd go to these, and just that green would pop and like the colored buttons for each turtle and just and then of course the arcade game came home. It came to Nintendo. Take that shit home with you.
Nice.
And it's always been a bit of the bane of my existence because I can't beat it. And but I also don't try as much because I enjoy playing with other people. So I recruited my nephew who was born in the mid-90s. He has no memory of the arcades ever existing.
Yeah.
But I explained to him the whole thing and he rolled his eyes and he said, whatever, dude, I'll just play it with you. So we did. And we've beaten a bunch of Turtles beat 'em ups together. He's been my side turtle. You know, he and I beat Hyperstone Heist together, Turtles in Time, Manhattan Project, all those. It's time to beat this arcade game. It's time to do it. But we keep making it to like the last, literally the last stage and run out of continues. And I'm thinking, and I can almost put my finger on it, and I think it's because we're too drunk. Each time we get to the end, I'm like, I was way too drunk for that one. Like, we've got to stop. But the stages are really long, so you tend to drink a lot.
Understandable.
But tons of fun. So that's one that I'm working on.
Yeah, I also added, I guess I should have added this to the backlog, but Assassin's Creed Boredom Cry.
Boredom Cry because it's a snooze fest. It's an Assassin's Creed game. Get it?
Yeah, I heard you. Yeah, but actually, I really want to play this. It's Freedom Cry, Atawale. I explained it last time. I'm not going to do that. So. Mm.
But you did, you put some time into it?
No, not yet. But it's like a 4-hour game. I think
I'm declaring it as a side quest
because I clearly don't have any. I beat everything that I have, you know, going on with side quest.
Okay, fair enough. I have been working on, once again, with my wife. Her and I have been tackling Baldur's Taint Dick Alliance. And that, of course, is the PS2 Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance game. I'm actually already shopping around for the sequel to that. So it's kind of like that Nier Automata. If anybody sees a good deal on that Dark Alliance 2, PS2, I'd like it complete in box if you can find it. I'll pay whatever it's worth.
You just turn into nerdy Elvis.
I'll turn into whatever it's worth. I think we're on the third and final act. Close, if not, still fun. Still plugging away at it. So
good times.
So, yep.
Nice.
You've already talked about Bayonetta. You want me to keep going?
Yeah, keep going.
Okay. Brian and I, like I said, because we retired that Fatal Frame, we decided, hey, let's move on. Let's skip a few generations. Let's go from PS2 to Xbox One and play Resident Evil 7. I am one of the rare few people that love Resident Evil, but I haven't played 2, 3, 4, or 5, and I played 1 and 6, and I didn't play any of the fledgling ones in between, like Raccoon City or
Zero or
Veronica X Chronicles or whatever that shit. I don't have played any of that.
So you're a poser.
A little bit. I just love the first one so much.
Okay.
I'm really, really into that one. I know that one inside and out. But I didn't really play much of the other ones.
Cool.
But I do want to. But anyway, cool. So we started playing 7, and I love how much like the first one that it is.
That's awesome.
It is literally, Jacob, my favorite shit. It's my favorite shit. About defecating in one's drawers, this game is very inclined to force that to happen. It's very scary, pants-shittingly.
Nice.
If I might just run that in the ground on this episode. It is pants-shittingly scary.
Please do.
Dark as fuck. Like, what do you got, a 2-watt flashlight? Like, I don't understand why are there no good flashlights in these games? But it's also the darkest horror game I've ever played. Like, most of them will give you a decent flashlight, or if they don't give you a flashlight, the room is dark, but you can still see everything in it.
Right.
This shit gets dark.
Have you thought about maybe turning up the contrast?
We've had to several times throughout. We've had to be like, you know, we got it to where it's like, okay, make sure this is just barely visible. Now this fucking thing's visible and it's still dark. So whatever, it's just a shitty part of TV. Well, it's part of it. It's just supposed to be scary. Don't make fun of Brian's TV like that. He won't be your friend anymore.
I'm kidding. That's not true.
But yeah, I cannot imagine ever playing this in VR.
Oh, nice.
Can't even.
Now you said you wanted to.
I wanted to before I saw what the game was going to do to me.
And now you might shit your pants. Yeah.
No, there's absolutely no way. There's absolutely no way I play.
Nice.
But we're maybe based on playtime, I think we're about a third of the way through, and I'm loving it. I can't wait to get back into it.
Sweet.
And lastly, I advanced my Final Fantasy II progress by about a foot.
Okay.
Just to prove to all the Cartridge Club out there who were lobbying, flaming things through my windows.
You mean lobbying?
What did I say?
Lobbying. It's like standing by your windows like, I wish a flaming thing would come through here.
That's what I meant. That's what they were doing.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
They actually were lobbying. Yes, they weren't. They're not violent people. They were very hateful.
They said,
you're no good at Final Fantasy. You're playing it on the easiest platform. It was easy on the SNES. You're an idiot. And I cried and I said, you know, I'm going to finally try to do this.
You're going
to
do it.
And I went and I'm down in the cave. I beat a few of the things that had wiped me out before, went back and saved. So I advanced it like a foot. They're not beating up on me anymore.
Good.
None of that was true. I made all that up. But
I know.
But it's a good time, Jacob. It's a good time. So that was side quests. That's what we've been playing there on the side. So now we're moving on to the discussion.
The discussion.
If one might. It's going to be all about shooters, Jake. Pew, pew, pew.
Pow, pow, pow.
Particularly first-person and third-person shooters.
Yeah. The only kind that I really like.
Yes. So. And there's a major difference in kind of the way these are, I guess, referred to. I mean, aside from the obvious being perspective, but first-person shooters are usually, I say usually, but what we're going to talk about are ones that are very predicated on the shooting aspect.
Right.
Right.
It's not a game that is first-person in which you often shoot or sometimes shoot, but when you mainly shoot, that's what we're looking at.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, military-based games or...
Right. Sci-fi.
Yeah, whatever. Games where you shoot a lot. This is it. But third-person games are a little bit trickier because when we got into those, we started noticing that those straddled a lot of other genres. There are also horror. There are also adventure games or RPGs.
Right.
And so trying to find the ones that were particularly shooty...
Right, where shooting is the core mechanic.
Yeah, it was a little more difficult, but I think we did all right.
And a good example of this is like a Grand Theft Auto game, Grand Theft Auto 5 or Vice City, whatever. Yes, it is third person, and yes, you shoot things, but there's also a lot in that game that is not shooting. There's a lot of driving, delivering, racing. So we wanted to take a game, define a third person shooter for our purposes, as a game where you don't do that.
Yes.
You know, you shoot and maybe one or two other things, but not this big open book of other things you can do.
And it goes without saying the shooting in Grand Theft Auto games is dumb.
It's not great.
Rarely ever good.
Not great.
Yeah. So let's talk about first-person shooters first, then, because they are first-person shooters.
I like it.
What was the first first-person shooter you ever played that you remember playing?
It was Spear of Destiny.
What is that all about?
That is a Wolfenstein game.
It is indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was that's the sequel to the first one, right? Is that a number two?
Yeah, I think it's the second one.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you played that on a toaster?
PC. Yeah, PC.
Way back
PC
in the day.
Junior, an IBM PC Junior with an infrared keyboard.
Get out.
Yeah, it was wireless keyboard. Didn't have a wired mouse, but did play that. Not that I really use a fucking mouse. But it was Windows 3.1, for God's sake. But anyway, yeah, played that and had fun with it. You know, just keeping your nose to the wall, smacking that space bar, looking for them push walls. Yeah.
My first one was also Wolfenstein. It was Wolfenstein 3D.
Okay.
I have a very clear memory of my cousin getting this, and or having a computer, and I'm sure his dad, like all the rest of our dads, found a bunch of ripped games and put them all on there for us so we could play them,
because
our parents didn't spend
with
any
no
money.
DRM, you know, it's easy to do.
Easy to do. And I remember playing that, going over to his house and playing it, and going over to his house and asking him if I can play it, and then just asking him straight up if I could just come to his house just to play that. And I remember going over there one time, and there were like four of us over there, and we weren't talking to him, and he was like crying, like, everybody just wants to come over and play my Wolfenstein. And we're like, yeah, basically. I mean,
sorry,
you're not nearly as cool as this 3D world that I'm running around in.
Killing Nazis.
Killing Nazis and their dogs. That one, it's a very salient memory to me. And also just classic old Doom. I remember playing that and remembering that I shouldn't be.
Right. Which is why I didn't, because my parents would not let me.
Yes, yes.
There was
same
a,
cousin's
there's
house.
A pentagram on a wall or something. So bad mojo.
Yes, it was very a very heavy metal game.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. From the soundtrack all the way into just the demons and the fact that you are in hell.
Yeah, you're literally in hell.
Yeah, so a lot of good memories there. Very, you know, very basic. I mean, it was still sprites, essentially.
Right.
There's no aiming up or down. You're just running around, like you said, space bars and mouse clicks and trying to survive.
That's it.
So those are the first ones, and those were actually two of the big ones in history.
They really were.
Because they started out as wireframes in the 80s. I don't even think people thought video games could ever achieve that. And they were like, let's see if we can do it. And then it was like wireframe stuff. And they're like, well, this is neat. But it wasn't until like the 90s, the early 90s, when it was like, boom, Wolfenstein 3D. And then each year after that, there was this big landmark first-person shooter that also... And this kind of stopped at some point, but for a long time, especially in the 90s and early 2000s, the first-person shooter game that sold the most really defined the generation, because that was the benchmark for what a system could do. It was like,
right,
you know, like you know, Doom in 93, and then, you know, Heretic was not quite as popular, but still, you know, very much the same. 94, Star Wars Dark Forces in 95, and then Duke Nukem 3D in 96.
That was
and
a huge one.
GoldenEye, I mean, it was just getting better and better. That was on the N64, and then Half-Life in 98, and then Halo in 2000, and then look at us now, you know. So
it's crazy.
Now I feel like a generation will define itself on big worlds, but back then it was how close to realism can this, how can my eyes see through a character, how good can that be?
Right. I really do feel like up until like the previous generation, like the Xbox 360, up until then everything was defined by shooters. I think now this generation it's actually these big RPGs. I mean, I think Skyrim was kind of the tail end of that, but now you got your Witcher and your Destiny and all these kind of really big worlds.
Horizon,
that's not, you know,
exactly. Breath of the Wild.
Like that's sort of the thing now.
Mm-hmm.
The system sellers and the system, like,
but that's
benchmarks.
Not to say that the first person shooters are worse. I mean, the Call of Duties these days look amazing.
They are amazing.
You know, Titanfall would look great. The new Doom. I
great
mean,
game.
You can go on and on. New Wolfensteins are great. So
absolutely.
They're still great, but they don't have that. They've been sort of replaced in terms of the benchmark of a platform by these open world games, because
I think so too.
They're just more impressive now. A world is now more impressive than a person, or simulating what a person can do.
That's interesting.
So when it comes to those first-person shooters, Jake, and we've listed a ton here, but what are some of your all-time favorites?
So we mentioned one of them, and that is Half-Life, the OG Half-Life on PC. Valve's first big landmark game, and man, I love this game. I absolutely have you played through it?
I've actually not played the first one. I jumped in right at Half-Life 2.
Okay, well, I mean, that's where we all ended the ride. But no, the first Half-Life, it was, you know, I had a PC that was overpowered for this, which was rare because it was much later when I, not much later, but a couple of years later when I actually started playing Half-Life. So it ran like a dream, and just the world of, you know, talking to those NPCs and the lab coats and the face crabs and the weird interdimensional stuff and, you know, the guns and just like this feeling of isolation because there was nothing really going on in the world except you, a few NPCs along the way who usually died, and these awful creatures that were coming out of these other dimensions. And it was just so bleak, you know, and just a lot of fun, like mechanically sound, fun to play, just running around that crowbar, just beating things.
Is there a remastered version of this anywhere?
There isn't. You know,
that's kind of baffling.
It is. I mean, there's been a few fan projects like the Black Mesa thing, but I don't think there's ever been a full on.
There's probably mods though, right, for that game? There's something maybe that maybe improves it visually.
I mean, I think it ran on OpenGL or something, which isn't even like the thing now. So I think I could be wrong about that, but I know. I really would love like a good re-release of Half-Life. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It would maybe taint that memory a little bit. Taint.
Yeah, but it'd get more people to play it.
True. True. Maybe get Half-Life 3 made. Who knows?
Yeah, good. Doubt it. For me, and this could be recency bias, mm-hmm. and it's partly because of my love for the original, honestly, but mm-hmm. I loved New Doom 2016 so much.
I mean, it's a good game. I mean, as far as a shooter goes, you can't deny the fact that this is a prime shooter.
Yeah, I won't belabor it because I think we've talked about it once an episode for the last 2 years. But
fair enough.
Even though it only came out last year, but still, I love it so much. So yeah, that one that jumped right to your. I'm not ordering these in any way, but it's definitely among my favorites.
Another one for me is BioShock Infinite, and I think the reason why, because like the first BioShock was good, great, even above average for sure. BioShock 2 is kind of like the red-haired stepchild. The Infinite, for something, what I loved about BioShock Infinite was it was such a strong story. It was very heavily narrative based, but it didn't force you into doing non-shooter things to tell the story, which is sort of a hallmark of BioShock. It tells you the story while you're playing the game through people talking to you, the clues that you see, the environment. And BioShock Infinite was just so, the irony of it being such an oppressed, weird, sad place, but it's so bright and colorful and you're literally in the clouds, but everyone is shooting at you, or, you know, lots of dead people and this really oppressive government presence, and not to mention all the other weird BioShocky things that are going on. And the shooting mechanics aren't like top notch here, but there were some really cool things that that game did that I really love every time I played that game.
It had neat weapons and
yeah, the little I can't remember what they called them in BioShock Infinite, but like the mutagens that you would put in and like shoot weird things out of your hand. This was like things that you would drink, and there was like these really cool old timey ads for them mm-hmm. everywhere. And, you know, I got the art book for BioShock Infinite. And,
oh, nice.
Like,
yeah.
I just love that, you know, weird. It almost feels like alternate history because it's Columbia, which is one of the original names of the states. And it had all these, you know, patriotic things going on, but in a kind of twisted way. And I just loved it.
Yeah, it's really cool. I've started it several times. I souped up a PC at some point, was going to play it, and played it a little bit, and my video card kept crashing, and it kept falling further and further down the backlog. So at this point, I don't know if I go back to it, but I do have. It still intrigues me to this day.
It's a great game.
Another one for me, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. And this is like a snoozy thing to say, right? It's not interesting. It's a Call of Duty game.
We all agree with Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
Yeah, but it was big deal.
You know, still a big deal. I mean, people paid $50 for this thing now, like the remaster. Like, so it's not.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It was one of the first games I got for my PS3. And I got the PS3 fairly soon, so this was a big deal to me because it's like, you know, this is a new gen thing and I'm not a new gen guy. And I remember like a lot of those missions, like we were wearing like the ghillie suit and you're crawling on the grass and just all this cool stuff, and like the online play, that was sort of a new thing for me. I wasn't able to do that on the PS2. I was never into the PC stuff, so this was like my foray into it. Just a lot of good memories of that game. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a great game. Good story, and it's been the blueprint for every modern shooter.
That's a good point.
That has come since.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, it's a very fair point.
For sure. Lastly for me would be Titanfall 2, and this is not recency bias. I really think this is a fantastic shooter. The shooting mechanics are just damn near perfect in this, at least on console, and I'm sure it's even better on PC just because of more accuracy. But great suite of things to do in the game. You know, the single player campaign, just a total blast, well written. It's like a platformer with cool mechanics and, you know, wall running and jumping and jetpacks and big guns and giant robots and this somewhat plausible story, and the multiplayer is fantastic and lots of free support thereafter. So there's a lot to love about Titanfall 2. So I really think it's going to be a landmark shooter of this generation for sure.
Yeah, it's one that every time there's an Xbox sale, I look for it and see. It's the first one I go to. I'm like, is Titanfall 2 cheap enough for me yet? And it's getting to where I might just have to just do it.
It just made its way into the EA Access Vault. So could pay $30 and get access to that and Battlefield 1 and a shit ton of other games for a year. So
true that. Something to think about.
Yeah.
Far Cry 3 for me. That was, again, my first Far Cry.
Yeah.
And, dude, I really enjoyed that game. Now, I know a lot of the characters that of the I guess your teenagers or young kids that you're with are
super
all
douches.
Just super douches, but but really a couple of things that I really enjoyed about that game in terms of the characters was the villains.
Oh yeah,
first and foremost.
Blast.
And even a lot of your allies that you come across throughout the game are very interesting people, very well written people. So it's not so big a deal to me that the people who I am and the people I'm saving are douches, because I don't interact with them. I'm just them, you
right.
know. So it didn't really bother me that much. But
yeah.
Dude, that game was crazy. I remember thinking, like, I don't know, just so cool. Like all the animals and like how you're just constantly being hunted by everything, and you're the outpost, taking down the outpost was really special, really cool, because you could tackle each one differently. And I know Far Cry 4 did a lot of the same stuff,
yeah.
but 3 for some reason just felt better to me. And snakes, holy shit. So I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast or whatnot, but I have this like super irrational fear of snakes. Like it's rational and irrational at the same time. And one of the first moments, it's a wonder I ever played it. Beyond the first 15 minutes, because at the first radio tower, there's a snake there, and it jumped and it latched onto my arm in
makes
the game.
Makes a hissing sound.
Terrible. It's terrible. Yeah. And it wraps itself around and he rides it off. But I had already, the controller, I chucked it. I fucking chucked it straight up in the air and sprinted out of the room in hysterics and was afraid to cut. I kept like inching closer to the TV to look around it to see if it was still on the screen before I sat back down on the couch. And for the rest of that game, I never got bit by a fucking snake again, Jake. If I heard slightest, I was very careful.
It
was extremely careful. So. Yeah, I don't know, just an excellent game, excellent world. So much stuff you can do in that game, so
I agree.
I enjoyed it. So let's move on to third-person shooters. Now,
yeah.
I don't remember playing many of these growing up, believe it or not. You would think there would be more common for some reason years ago, but
yeah.
when you talk about strictly shooters, there's just not a ton of them there. I remember playing those third-person levels in Contra.
Right.
You know, I think when you first start out, every other level there for a little bit is a third-person shooter, and I always thought those were neat because it was kind of this, you know, makeshift 3D,
right.
and it was really neat. You had no depth perception, but they tried to make it work, and that was cool. And then, of course, Star Fox. That's maybe as close as I could get.
Okay.
For those. I enjoyed both of those.
Yeah, okay.
You have any?
So, early ones, not a lot, really. I mean, I think probably Max Payne 1. I played that, and that was probably the earliest third-person shooter I played, because I really just really wasn't into those at the time, you know, like super, super young. But the first Max Payne was probably up there, and still revered.
So. Yeah, and it's to say we're not including anything that's a platformer in a shooter.
Like, right. Even if there's like, yeah.
I mean, something that has a 3D atmosphere, I think, is kind of what we're going for.
Agreed.
So what are our favorite third-person shooters? Go ahead.
For me, one of them is Max Payne, which I just talked about.
You're talking about the OG.
Talking about the OG Max Payne, the one where he had the perma-grin thing, and there was no reflections, and the windows were all blue. And it was just this cold, bleak, noir story where your family has been murdered, and you're just running around avoiding the cops and avoiding the bad guys, and just, you know, doing these super cool bullet time dives and shooting guys in the face. And there was a lot to love about the tone of that game. It was very Sin City before Sin City was like a big thing, and Just really cool property, and I'm like, the second one wasn't as good. I think it was like had Mona or somebody in it. Rockstar picked up the third one and did a great job with it. I think it's a game that's it's overlooked far too much. It wasn't, I don't know why, I just never got the acclaim that I think it deserved. I mean, because it took that element of Max Payne, which is a property that already exists from Remedy, and then just kind of did the Rockstar treatment to it. High production values and great storytelling. So I'd recommend playing any of those, specifically the first and third one.
Cool. Yeah, I've always kind of wanted to. I might do that.
Yeah, they're cool.
I really enjoy the Gears series.
Yeah.
It's a big thing for me. It's also kind of a social thing for me. A lot of my friends are into Gears, which
you can't see it, but we got a big Marcus Fenix.
We got a big Marcus Fenix back here. And I just love that series so much. And you know, even the last one that came out, even Judgment, which is the Black Sheep, I find it find it great. The cover mechanic, you know, that was a big thing for the time. I remember we mentioned this on an episode way before, and we talked about when the first Gears of War commercial aired, like in 06 or whatever, and it was the, gotta forget the song, but
Mad World.
And from that moment on, it's always just kind of been this like bigger than life thing. I remember that commercial blowing me away, and
that's so good.
And like, and everybody's big and muscle bound or whatever, and it's this big machismo series, but it's so fun. The characters to be over the top muscle heads, the characters are really different and fun.
Yeah, relatable.
Yeah,
and
very cool.
At times. I think it's funny. I was watching an interview with Cliff Bleszinski talking about Lawbreakers, and he was talking about how a lot of the things that he came up with were sort of not ripped off, but kind of like borrowed a lot of the things that he made. He's like, but nobody ever picked up Active Reload and put it into their games. It's always something that just stayed in Gears.
Like,
No one's ever put that in anything else. So it's free. Go get it. So I was like, that is weird that no one's ever done that, because it's such a small thing, but it's such a thing when you play Gears to get that active reload, to get that extra damage.
And each
damage.
Gun's a little bit different. They
timing's
a little different. So you have to be somewhat skilled in it.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is very interesting.
Pretty cool. So, I'm just going to tag on. I think Gears 3 is my favorite Gears and one of my favorite third-person shooters of all time, mainly because a horde mode in that is just a blast. I never could get into the PvP stuff. I'm just not good enough at that game for some reason to do PvP. I don't know if it's my controller settings or what. I'm just ass at it. But I really like the conclusion, the campaign of Gears of War 3 and that story ending the way it did. And the levels were a blast, and it just felt so, tremendous and important to that story. So I really like Gears 3.
Yeah, Gears 3, and I mean, again, all of them, the mechanics in terms of shooting are just great.
Yeah.
Garden Warfare 2, this is a fun one. It's one that you talked me into getting. Just colorful fun. Sometimes I just love, it's like the closest thing I can get to an N64 game sometimes is to just find that bright, bubbly, colorful shit.
It's just over the top. It's extremely self-aware. A lot of fun.
I mean, it's funny. Like, the characters in there are written to be funny, and it actually is.
And it's
pretty
always
funny
fun
and
getting those stickers, busting those sticker packs, which isn't part of the shooting mechanic at all.
No, it's
but
not.
It's just a blast play, and there's fun different modes and maps, and the game has been supported well after launch, and I really recommend that game also for free in the EA Vault now. So
good point. Yep,
just plugging that. I mean, guys, you should go get it. There's a lot of shit in there to play.
Right on. You got anything else?
I got one more that I'll talk about, and that is Spec Ops: The Line. And this one comes up a lot now. It never came up at release or when it was out. This was PS3 and Xbox 360 game. I'm going to blame it on the shitty title. I think most people do. This is the most generic shovelware dumbass title for a shooter that you'll come up with. You just immediately think it's like spam or an ad or something. But Spec Ops: The Line is a third-person shooter, extremely story-driven, heavy-handed narrative in a good way. And this is essentially Heart of Darkness, which, if you're not familiar with that, that is the book on which Apocalypse Now is based. It's literally Apocalypse Now, but set in Afghanistan. And it's just so deep and moving, and it asks these big questions, and it talks about morality and talks about duty and like insanity, and it's just like the game itself is not, I guess, revolutionary in terms of mechanics, but just as a third person shooter, this game did things that most don't, and that's, it tells a really meaningful story, a very psychologically driven story. So for that reason, I think you should play it if you haven't.
Fun fact, the main character is voiced by Nolan North.
No doubt.
So that is cool. Yeah, that's a game that, you know, it, like you said, the name just means nothing to me.
It's just like, is that like Sniper Elite Warrior Ghost 7 or
that's
something?
That's what it feels like, yeah, right?
It feels like some shitty
or it feels like a
game.
You know, not to dog on Tom Clancy games, it feels like the name that would follow, like Tom Clancy, Spec Ops The Line or something, just another iteration of the same thing you've already had. But you're saying this is a completely different, unique, fun experience.
I wouldn't say it's fun. No, it's important. No, it's fun to play, but it's not a game that you're like... I'm trying to think of a bit. It's not like sitting down and it's like, hey, let's pop some popcorn and watch Schindler's List.
Right.
You know, it's not that kind of game. It's a game that you want to play if you want to get
some feels,
get some real thought provoking stuff.
Fair enough, man. Yeah. Something that will not provoke thought that I think is fun is Panzer Dragoon.
Oh.
This is an on rails third person shooter. Yeah. That I just recently picked up for the Saturn. I find it difficult in later levels, but it is fun. And of course, time ages Saturn games, you know, awfully. But I can see that game for its time, I get the hype.
Kind
I
mean, of a big
it
deal.
It is fun, and I enjoy it. And among on rail shooters, it's by far and away my favorite. Although I've not played many, there's not many that I would vote to play. But this is one, and I think it is fun. So.
Sweet.
So does that do it, Jake?
Well, I do have one honorable mention.
Oh, please.
And this is another one that was criminally overlooked. I think it was a Platinum game, Platinum Studio. It was released on PS3, I think, maybe Xbox 360. For some reason, I was thinking it was PS3 exclusive. I could be wrong on that. But it is getting a PC port soon. So those of you who play with mouse and keyboard should pay attention. But that is Vanquish. And this is a game that was essentially... a cover-based third-person shooter set in a high science fiction world that never really got its due, never got its time in the sun. But it's a fantastic game mechanically, stylistically. It's got that Platinum flair, but not like the zaniness of a Bayonetta or Nier Automata. It's a little more scaled back in terms of tone, but a really great game, and it shouldn't be missed if you're, you know, out on the prowl and you see it and you're like, hey, what is this Vanquish thing? It looks like some shit game. It's not.
Yeah, it's another one of those titles that just doesn't stick out, but it has some 2D bullet hell aspects to it, some beat-em-up aspects to it, so it leverages a lot of really good classic mechanics.
Make the argument that that's where Nier Automata kind of got its diverse genre fusing that it has.
True that. So which do you typically like more, Jake? Does it matter to you? Do you prefer a first person over a third person? Like we said, third person usually straddles a lot of other genres, so maybe it's not a fair comparison, but where do you stand?
I mean, I'm more of a first person guy in general, but I have to say some of my favorite gaming stories have been in a third person shooter.
Cool.
So like when I go for narrative, I usually go third person. If it's for mechanics or competition, I think first person is where it's at for me.
Yeah, I think for the most part, that's fairly accurate. But of course, there's exceptions to every rule. Like the newest Wolfenstein's great stories. And for some reason, I also associate first person shooters, especially in this day and age, as just being really high fidelity. Like great.
Well,
graphical
you're not
prowess.
Animating a main character,
exactly.
So you've got some extra horsepower to do stuff.
So you know, if you're into admiring a beautiful world, and I'm thinking of, you know, in terms of just first person games in general, not specifically shooters that I've played, that's been true. Like for Alien Isolation, a beautiful game. Resident Evil 7 is a beautiful game. Those are horror, I know, but
still,
not very few third person games give you that clarity and detail. So I think that's one big difference.
Sure.
If you could point to one that maybe people don't think of. So I don't know. It depends. I think I'm more of a third person player. In terms of most games, I'll go for that. No real reason. I couldn't tell you why. I just tend to like those games more. They're usually more adventure games and
sure.
And that kind of
thing. A lot of your retro stuff is third person, obviously.
Yeah, true dat. All right, does that do it, Jake? Did we talk about shooters enough?
We did.
All right, well, I hope you guys had fun.
Hope you did, too.
Did a few new things here today.
We tried them.
We tried them out. We'll see what happens. So that's been it. Now, next episode, I promise you, is going to be the two-year anniversary episode. Mm-hmm. So we got a few special things coming for you there, I hope. I don't know what they are yet. I don't think we've thought of them yet, but they'll be there.
Yep.
Please email us your shitty job stories to polykillpodcast@gmail.com. As always, you can follow us on Twitter @polykill. I am @TraffPlaysGames.
I am @TheMcAxel.
Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/PolyKillPodcast. Please rate us on iTunes. That internet hug means so much to us. And it's like an internet fist bump and an internet bro hug and an internet everything. So please pass that on to us if you don't mind. We don't ask for much around here. And PolyKill.com has all of our stuff. CartridgeClub.org has us and a lot of our good friends. You can check all of them out there. Thanks for checking in, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Peace.